My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These words of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John speak comfort and promise to those who know that life and peace may only be found by abiding in the Savior. Always with Christ is a ministry of Holy Cross Anglican Church. Located in the desert mountains of Alpine in far west Texas, Holy Cross seeks to faithfully serve our Lord and our community by sharing the love of God in Jesus Christ, teaching the doctrine of the apostles, and breaking the bread of life. In this series, Father Damian Grout helps us understand the wisdom of observing the church year and the way it plays an important role in conforming us to the image and likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
As we continue following the ancient pattern of reading through the church year, the lessons for this day, this ninth Sunday after Trinity, bring us into one of our Lord's most well-known parables. Today we hear the parable of the prodigal son. But before we get to our gospel lesson, we need to spend just a few moments considering the epistle, because today it helps us to understand this day and the battle that we take up. But it also reminds us of the whole scope of Trinity season. It reminds us of why we take the same journey every year and the importance of it. The epistle today comes from St. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, in which he exhorts these Gentile Christians who are clearly struggling to walk worthy of their calling in Christ to remember the examples of our fathers in the faith. But he doesn't bring Old Testament Israel before our eyes as an example for us to follow, but as a warning. Brethren, the epistle lesson begins, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the same cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Christ. Now he has more to say, but we need to make sure that we understand what he's talking about. He's telling these Gentile Christians about the Israelites whom God rescued from the bondage of the Egyptians. He's reminding them of the Exodus by which God led his people out of slavery by a pillar of cloud, and how that God led them through the waters of the Red Sea, and how he fed them in the desert, and how he brought water out of the rock. But with many of them, St. Paul continues, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the desert. How were they overthrown? Don't you remember how God protected the Israelites when the Egyptians changed their mind and sought to retake their former slave labor force? Don't you remember how God turned Balaam's attempt to curse into a blessing? But Israel was not overthrown by any military force. They were overthrown by their own desires. They made shipwreck of their faith because they let their lust rule over them. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, St. Paul continues. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. And here the apostle quotes from Exodus 32, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now this might not sound so bad until you realize that he's referring to the golden calf incident. These people who had been baptized unto Moses, who passed through the sea, these who were fed with the bread from heaven and drank of the water of life, these were the same people who reject their rescuer and go after the gods of the Egyptians. They offer themselves to the golden calf, and they celebrate this false god with a feast and with sexual immorality. That's what it means to rise up and play. Now all these things happened unto them for ensample, and they are written for our admonition. How many of that generation that passed through the Red Sea went on into the Promised Land? It was only two, Joshua and Caleb. The rest fell in the wilderness, but no one starved to death, no one died of thirst, no army defeated them. They were destroyed by their lust through their disordered appetites. We are reminded of this so that we don't follow their example. We who have passed through the waters of baptism and have tasted of the heavenly bread of the Eucharist, we are in danger of falling in the way if we allow our appetites to lead us from the path of life. Now, it isn't that appetites, that longings are in themselves bad, but they must be brought into subjection, and we must learn by the Holy Spirit to rule over our appetites, to train them, to direct them so that we do not long for the things that will destroy, but for the things that lead to life. A certain man had two sons, our gospel lesson begins, and the younger son comes to his father and says, "Give me my inheritance, that which should come to me upon your death. I want it now." Such a request showed a great deal of disrespect for his father, yet the father gives him what is due, and the son goes off into a far country where he squanders all his fortune with what Jesus calls riotous living, which means exactly what it sounds like. He lived his life following every desire of his fallen heart. He gave himself to every appetite. He denied himself nothing, whether it was food or sex or anything else. He indulged in it. But his riches are not eternal. And when famine comes to the land, he's destitute, and he who had denied himself nothing begins to be in want. In his desperation, he finds a job tending pigs, and though he feeds the beasts, he himself is starving to death. But as he watches these animals, he comes to himself. He finally comes to his right mind. He sees things the way they actually are. But as long as he lived like an animal, indulging every whim, he would never understand. It is only when he stops feeding his lusts that he begins to see. The rest of the story shows us the love of the father. When the son comes to his senses, he seeks readmission into the family home. But he knows who he is. He knows what he's done. He does not come waltzing up to the front door, demanding his old room. He comes in humility, seeking to be made one of the servants. But the father will have none of that, and he welcomes him as a son. He kills the fatted calf. He clothes him in the finest robes. The whole house makes merry, for this son that had been lost is now found. For the prodigal, he comes to his senses, and he finds the grace of repentance. But for many of the Israelites in the Exodus, they let their appetites rule them right to the grave. We need to ask this of ourselves. What do you long for? As Christians, we have passed through the waters of baptism. We've eaten of the bread of heaven in the Eucharist. We are offered the holy chalice in which we take the life of God into ourselves. We are the new Exodus people, but have we learned from the bad example of our forefathers? Or do we seek to live like an animal, letting our lust rule over us? These days of Trinity season have been given to us to help us to come to our right mind, to teach us to recognize the fallen appetites that seek to destroy us, the lust that, if we are dominated by them, will cause us to make shipwreck of our faith. But we need to do more than just recognize them. We are given these days to learn to fight them, and this is a fight for our very life. Take up the good fight. Press on to eternal life. Amen.
Holy Cross Anglican Church is committed to upholding the historic Christian faith of Christ and His apostles through word and sacrament. We are located across from the golf course at 903 Fighting Buck Avenue in Alpine. Join us to worship on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, find us on Facebook at Holy Cross Anglican Church, Alpine, Texas.